As we say that this is the day that the Lord has made, we are to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad to be alive, alert, and active, and I do hope and pray that you are as well. God has spared our lives in such a time of trouble and trepidation, and we should honor God, reverence God, and serve God with our whole hearts. I do know that this period is purposeful, and God is active in this time and in this season. In spite of the pandemic, God is active. So don't fail to see what he's doing and fail to hear what he's saying. We've been prayed for, and we do thank God for Deacon McLean leading us in devotion, blessing our hearts with song, scripture, and prayer, and another song. It is good to see Brother Abram here, and Brother Joe, and Reverend Pope. Good to have them here. And it is good to have you on the virtual Bible study this evening to connect so we can hear what God has to say to us today. Matthew chapter 8, we are in a continued study through the Gospel of Matthew concerning the ministry of Jesus. We have already dealt with the foundational teachings of Jesus in chapters 5 through 7. And in chapter 8, we have a close, somewhat of an in-person view of the ministries as it relates to the miracles of Jesus, that he is exercising power over certain facets of life to reveal to his followers and to reveal to us that he is the Son of God. He is one with God. He is mediator between man and God. He is the Messiah. He has all power, heaven and earth, in his hands. And certainly that's wonderful to know, especially as being a follower, that we are not following after someone who has some power, but we are following the one that has all power. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. Tonight we're looking at Jesus' power over demons. Let us look at verses 28 through 34. Verses 28 through 34. Please locate that in your Bibles as you are studying along with us here and in your homes or in your cars or wherever you may be at this particular time. Matthew's chapter 8, verses 28 through 34. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a great or a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city, and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. God's word for God's people. God's word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers, believers, and doers of his holy word. Certainly the word is the seed of God that he gives us to sow into our own lives and to sow in the lives of others, that we will be bountiful in bringing forth a harvest. He's pleased with fruitful living. And so we want to encourage you to ingest, intake the word of God so that your life would be fruitful. Jesus' power over demons. Jesus' power over demons. Jesus showed his eternal divinity in the miracles he wrought. In verses 28 through 34, he demonstrates his power over demon possession. Let me tell you that demon possession is real. Many people deny the existence of demons and deny demon possession. I wanted to give us somewhat of a working definition of demon possession, and it reads this way. Demon possession is when a demonic spirit inhabits a human host. Now, make sure you work that in your spirit. It's when a demonic spirit inhabits a human host. It is not limited to biblical times. Demons are still inhabiting and harassing people today. Now, let me say that again. Demons are still inhabiting and harassing people today. Now, this is frightening for a lot of people because many people really want to shun and ignore the subject of demon possession, because demon possession is fear-provoking. It makes us uneasy. It really makes us nervous, if you will. And so to understand it gives us great comfort to really study it and to really look into it and to really investigate it, especially as a child of God, makes us very easy. It sets us at ease. Now, if you're unsaved, you have a right to be fearful, because the unsaved can be inhabited by unclean spirits or demonic spirits. Demons, as we have called them. It's frightening for the unsaved. That's why, as blood-bought, as saved people of God, we should really extend the invitation of Christ to as many as we come across, because people can be inhabited that's not saved. Now, I believe through study of the word of God that the saved, the child of God, cannot be demon possessed. There's no reading in the New Testament of a saved person being delivered from demonic spirits. Matter of fact, Paul talks about God indwelling the believer, and that we are, our bodies are the temples, and an unclean and clean spirit cannot inhabit the same space. So a child of God, a saved person, cannot be demon possessed. So I like that. I like that. That's why it's so important for us to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, because when we do that, God's Spirit comes to live inside of us, and his Spirit wards out the other spirits, the unclean spirits, because the Spirit of God and the spirit of evil spirits cannot inhabit the same space. There's not a lot known and said about demons. From the Word of God, we know that demons are fallen angels. Demons are fallen angels who joined Satan in his rebellion against God and were defeated and cast out of heaven along with Satan, according to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Demons continue to serve the devil in his attempt to lead the world away from God and into sin. Notice the agenda of Satan is to lead the world away from God and into sin. Their assignment is to wreak havoc in the earth. They are troublesome spirits, tormenting spirits, that if they indwell you as an unsaved person, they are not indwelling you to bring you pleasure, but they are indwelling you to bring you pain. You will live a life of torment. You will live a life of pain. You will live a life of discomfort. Notice verse 28 tells us that Jesus has made it to the shore of the Gadarenes. They have made it to the other side, and the other side is the country of the Gadarenes. Just a few steps in length from the sea, an immense mountain rises directly above it. And the mountain held ancient tombs. And here it is, Jesus and his disciples are walking the Roman road near the graveyard, near the tombs, and he's met by two demon-possessed men. Matthew gives description to the men. He says that they were exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Not only were they tormented, but they tormented everybody that came along that roadway. Oh, they were afflicting injury, not only to themselves, but anyone they could get a hold of. That's what demons would do. Demons will tear your life apart and tear up anyone else's life that gets close to you. So the Bible says they were exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Notice the words exceeding fierce. Exceeding fierce means that they were wicked, malignant, malicious, mischievous, and troublesome through the influence of the demons in them. Let me say that again. That they were wicked, malignant, mischievous, even malicious and troublesome through the influence of the demons in them. Matthew 8:28 says the demon-possessed men were so fierce that people literally were afraid to travel the Roman road near the cemetery. Mark chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 describes one of the men as wild, super strong, and suicidal. It's frightening to be near someone who is wild, super strong, and suicidal. Where did you get super suicidal from? The Bible says day and night he cut himself with sharp stones. Luke chapter 8, verses 27 to 30 say that one of the men had thousands of demons inhabiting him. Jesus asked his name. He says, "My name is Legion." Thousands of demons. He wore no clothing, neither abode in any house, and had supernatural strength to break chain, fetters, and bands. They were exceeding fierce. They were wicked, malignant, mischievous, and troublesome. through the influence of the demons in them. Several things to notice from verses 28 through 34 about Jesus' power over demon possession. First of all, notice demons are powerful. Don't ignore that. Demons are powerful. And man cannot handle demons apart from God. We can't handle demons by our own strength. Demons are powerful. So powerful that they determine the dwellings of the demoniacs. Know it's powerful when you want to go home and you can't. There's an influence or a spirit within you that makes you live in an unlikely place. The cemetery. The Bible says in verse 28, they met Jesus coming out of the tomb. The Greek shows that they did not merely come from among the tomb, but actually out of the tomb. So the demons who were in the men delighted to dwell in a place of desolation and ruin. The burial ground is a place for the dead. Living men living in the place of the dead. Don't miss that. Men who had life in their bodies living among people with lifeless bodies. They were in a place of the dead. The demons drove the men into the cemetery, and their dwellings denote Satan's agenda to destroy life. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So his agenda is denoted in the fact that they were living among the dead. Satan wanted them dead. He wants you dead. He wants me dead. He wants every living soul dead. Matter of fact, it's a good thing that we are saved and belong to the Lord, because in Job we see the significance of that, in that when the Lord had his meeting with Satan concerning Job, Satan had to ask permission. He had to ask permission to touch Job. Now, first of all, God didn't give him permission to touch Job, but he gave him permission to touch his possessions. Possessions. So God has a hedge around us. He protects us. And he won't let us experience anything that we are not able to bear. That's why it's so wonderful to be saved. That's why I'm excited about being saved, because God has a hedge around me and he won't let no more in than I can bear. These men had their dwellings among the tomb. Notice verse 28 of Matthew's 8 says the agenda of Satan is clearly seen in the two demon-possessed men's dwelling. They were coming out of the graveyard. And the Gospel of Mark and Luke gives further details. Luke 8:27 says, one man ran around naked. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 5 says, one man was cutting himself with sharp stones. Demons torment to influence people to take their own life. They can't kill you, but they sure can make you kill yourself. Especially the unsaved now. The unsaved. The unsaved. So the demons made a wretch of these two men's lives. They had stolen the men from their homes and families. The demons stole their peace and sanity. They had driven the men off from community and doomed them to isolation among the graveyard. It's a terrible thing when you live and you think you belong among the dead. That's what demons will do, will distort your mind, will give you the wrong impression of life. So we see the dwelling of the demoniac. They dwelled in the tomb. But notice the dread of the demoniac or the demons. The demons, when they saw Jesus, knew exactly who Jesus was.
Amen.
They called him,
yeah,
Son of God.
All right.
Boy, they called him Son of God. In other words, they acknowledged Jesus as more than just a man. He is the Son of God. James chapter 2 verse 19 says, "You believe that there is one God. Even the demons believe that and tremble." They knew exactly who he was. Now, notice, first of all, or A, the demons dreaded his presence. Verse 29, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Thou Son of God?" What have we to do with you? Jewish phrase, "What have we to do with you," is an abrupt refusal of some request or a wish not to be troubled with the company of others. What have we to do with you? Why are you here? Your presence is unwelcome. Why are you here? The demons wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And it's rightly so, because they are contrary. They have two different agendas. Jesus' agenda is to do the will of his Father. And the satanic spirits, or the demons' agenda, was to lead people away from God and lead them into a life of sin. God sent his Son Jesus to deliver us from sin. They dreaded his presence. That's, you know, you ought to watch people when you start talking about Jesus. People get angry when you start talking about Jesus. You better know that there's an evil spirit there. People who dread the presence of the Lord, there's an evil spirit in there. People that have a problem with coming into the house of God to pray to God and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ has a spirit within them that's not godly.
Amen. Amen.
You have to watch people that cut out on you when you start talking about the Lord. They can talk about everything but Jesus. And see, when they cut out on you, when you start talking about the Lord, you ought to cut out on them when they start talking about everything else. They dreaded Jesus' presence. Not only that, but notice the demons dreaded Jesus' power. Verse 29, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Listen to that. The demons were well aware of their ultimate fate. They also knew that Jesus had divine power to send them to their final doom. Notice, Jesus did not employ his inherent divine power against Satan's kingdom to disturb the conditions under which evil exists in the world. Now, underscore that. I just said something. In other words, Jesus did not use his divine power to rid the world of evilness at that particular time. See, when he cast the demons out, he did not cast them into hell. That's why the demons said, "Are you here to torment us before the time?" See, the demons that are locked in hell, that's what Jude 6 says, that there are some locked in hell that have never been free. They have been bound. But then there are demons that are on the earth moving about. And when you go to say, go back to hell from whence you have come, they know you don't know what you're talking about. Because they have not come out of hell yet. See, they will be released out of hell during the millennial reign when God takes the people of God off the earth, when we spend that 1,000 years. Then the Bible says that then Satan and his imps will be released to roam the earth. You can't send demons back to hell if they hadn't been to hell. You got to know what you're talking about when you're dealing with demons. They dreaded his power. Jesus at the time did not employ his divine power against Satan's kingdom to disturb the conditions under which evil exists in the world. That's why evil still exists in the world. That's why when we turn on the news, we see all of this stuff happening in the world. Murder and theft. Sexual assault. And it goes on and on. Evilness and wickedness in the world. That Jesus has not rid the earth of evilness yet. He exercised his power to deliver the men from demon possession, but he did not exercise his power to rid the world of evilness at that particular time. Notice, the demons knew there is an appointed time for their destruction. It is sometimes referred to as final judgment or final destruction. Final destruction for Satan and his demons is coming. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, 41. Then shall he say unto them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I like this because the demons had good theology. They had good theology. What do you mean by that? They believed in the existence of God. They called Jesus Son of God. They believed in the deity of Jesus Christ. They called him Son of God. They believed in final judgment. Are you here to torment us? They knew what awaits them. They had good theology. And the demons knew why Jesus came to earth. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. They knew why he came. And that's why they said, are you here to torment us before the time? This is the last point that I want to make tonight. Notice the deliverance of the men in verses 30 through 32. Jesus delivered the men from demon possession. The swine were far from Jesus and the demoniac. The Bible says that they were a good ways off. Now, it's something in that, it's even a message in that, that you don't have to be close to demons as an unsaved person and demons inhabit. You don't have to be arm to arm. Understand who Satan is. He's the prince of the power of the air. So he can cast out of one and cast into another. Don't miss that. So they were a great ways off. And notice the swine did not have to pass near the demoniacs. There was distance between the demoniacs and the swines. The demons besought Jesus, saying, "If you cast us out, suffer us to go into the herd of swine." Now, the unclean spirit chose the unclean. Underscore that. The unclean spirit chose the unclean. Now, how could you say the swines are unclean? Because according to Leviticus chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And pigs, though it has a split hoof, completely divided, does not chew the cud. It is unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. They are unclean for you." So the unclean spirits chose the unclean and said, "Well, Jesus, if you're casting us out, cast us into the unclean animals." And Jesus uttered one word of command. He didn't have to say a whole lot. Just one word. It's one word in red in verse 32. And it's a small word. He didn't give one of those big words like elephant. That's a long word, big word. He just gave a little short word, a little small word, a two-letter word. He said, "Go." That's all it took for Jesus to cast the demons out of the two men. One word. Go. Go. And when Jesus said go, the demons felt his power and they obeyed. And at that moment, the two men were saved from demon possession. Can you think back on your life when the Lord said that simple word in your life to unclean spirit? He said that you can no longer live within my children. They are mine now because they have confessed my son. Go. He expelled the evil spirit out of your life with just a two-letter word. Go. I like that because the same go he said to the evil spirits, he said to us. He said, "Now that you're mine, go." Go teach. Go help other people discover my saving power and my saving grace. Go. Go. Two-letter word. Go. Go. And the Bible says the demons felt his power and they obeyed. And immediately they went into the swines. Now, I like this and I'm going to close out with this. What we see is when the demons went into the swine, their destructive nature. What they did to the swine is what they desired to do to the two men. But they couldn't do it to the two men because God had an appointment set up for the two men. That God knew that Jesus would come by that coast. And those men were cutting themselves, or one at least was cutting himself, and one was naked, or maybe both were cutting themselves, and both were running around naked, and they were supernaturally strong, but yet God had an appointment set up. That day Jesus stepped foot off of that boat and touched the shore and climbed that steep hill was the day he had an appointment set up for them. But we see the destructive nature of demons. Hear me when I say demons don't mean you any good. When they entered into the swine, the Bible says the herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Wait, wait, understand the destructive nature of the demons. But understand that the demons had a continued duty. They didn't die when the swine died. The swines died, but they didn't die. Now, remember that the presence of Jesus was unwelcomed by the demons. Also remember the final destruction of demons was not yet. Therefore, the demons were not destroyed when the herd of swines perished in the water. The demons entered into the people of the city. Because notice what verses 33 and 34, you see it in their behavior. And they that kept the swines fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and they saw him and besought him that he would depart out of their coast. His presence was unwelcome. You see the spirit of the demons in the people. Oh God. Oh God. I heard one preacher say some years ago that some of the spirits may have lingered in the water. And if they went down to the sea to get a glass of water, so they took a gulp of the demon spirits. I don't know, but I do know that the demons didn't perish in that water because their time was not yet. Listen, take from this. Demon possession is real, but it only happens to the unsaved. There's no room for demons to inhabit the saved because the Spirit of God inhabits the saved. And the Holy Spirit and evil spirits cannot inhabit the same space. Write this down, if you will. Write these scriptures down. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We are delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. We are overwhelmingly conquered. Our demons are overwhelmingly conquered through Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. And according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, we are led in triumph we have overcome the evil one. Just a few scriptures to help you in your study of this. Listen, before we close, it's good to have you on and a part of this Bible study. Certainly, I thank God for those that are here that have joined us this evening in person. We do pray for them, and we pray for you as well. Just a few announcements before we close. Remember, Sunday morning at 8:30, Sunday morning at 8:30, we will have our service, church service, in the parking lot. The reason we have altered the time is to avoid the extreme heat. So at 8:30, I'm hoping that we will come together as a family and park, pray, praise, and hear preaching, and participate in the ordinance of communion or the Lord's Supper. It is a high time for us. I'm just elated already to in my spirit about Sunday, because I know we're going to have a marvelous time. Let us come and fill that parking lot up and partake as a family. Listen, Jesus said this in the Word. He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take it in remembrance of me." Likewise, after they had supped together, he took the cup and said, "This is a cup, New Testament in my blood. Take, drink." So we are to do it in remembrance of him. It's a sin not to take it. We are commanded to take it, to partake in it. That's an ordinance that he has given to the church. Two ordinances, one is baptism and the other is the Lord's Supper or communion. So please come out Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. And we will have praise in the parking lot, preaching in the parking lot, and I'm excited about it. Then on the 23rd, we're looking to have in-person worship. We are limited in space due to the orders. I think we have about 250 to 260 that will be allowed to attend service at one time. We have two services that will be offered, one at 8 a.m. in the morning and the other at 10:30 a.m. And that gives us time in between the services to sanitize the sanctuary and all of that. And we have the committee in place, and the committee has worked tirelessly to prepare us for the 23rd. Prior to the 23rd, beginning on the 9th, we'll have 14 days of consecration. We'll come together as a church to pray, to posture ourselves in prayer, and to read 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, to prepare us. A lot is said in 1st and 2nd Timothy about the times in which we live. So I'm excited about that, and I hope you're getting excited. To attend these services, make sure you go to nbbc.info, and there's a registration form on the church's website. Fill out the website, and listen, once we reach capacity, we are not allowing anyone else to register for the services. So I think we have anywhere from 500 to 520 in the two services now. Only 250 to 260 will be allowed in the service at one time. So don't just rush the door. If you don't have a registration number, you will have to catch it the next time. So make sure we abide by the orders of the CDC and the healthcare professionals and the government officials. And then we have a wonderful committee in place will also make sure we are as safe as we can be. We will sanitize and we will keep space. All right. Listen, another thing coming our way in August, and I want y'all to get excited about this too. We have Fruitful Talk from the Pew. Fruitful Talk from the Pew. This is where you will hear members of the church give insightful teaching about the facets of the fruit of the Spirit. Facets of the fruit of the Spirit. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Every month we will feature a fruit or a facet of the fruit. For the first month, the month of August, we will have fruitful talk on the facet of love. It's the foundational facet, and we believe that everything that comes after comes out of. And so we're excited. Look for that on Thursdays on our church's website, webpage, and Facebook. Church's webpage is, again, is nbbc.info, and the church's Facebook is New Bethlehem Baptist Church Ministries, Bessemer, Alabama. So every Thursday we will have fruitful talk from the pew. Listen, a lot of things coming our way, and we just thanking God for involving us in kingdom ministry. Pray much for us. Pray as we pray much for you. We do ask that you bear in mind that there is hurt among us. People are hurting. People are sick. People need our prayers. And so make sure you are praying for the church, praying for the members, praying for the community, praying for the people that are near and dear you, and people that you don't even know. Sometimes you pass by an incident and you see the ambulance or one of the first responders. It takes nothing from you to say a quick prayer for those persons that's involved. And God will honor those prayers and bless those persons, not even knowing you prayed. That's how powerful prayer is. God bless you. Let us pray as we close. Father, we thank you for the day. We pray and ask your blessings upon us as we leave. Lord, this mountain, we pray that you cause our faces to shine like you caused Moses' face to shine. That it will be obvious among those that we come into contact with that we have been in your presence. You are God, and besides thee, there is none other. And you do supernatural things. You superabundantly abound in our lives, and we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that, Lord, we will heed and yield our lives to your truth, Lord, and we will teach your truth to others. As Paul said to his son in the ministry, Timothy, teach others what you have been taught. In other words, we are to teach others who are able to teach others. And so, Father, bless us to do that, that your word will spread in the earth like volcano lava spread across the land, Lord, and makes a difference. Let us be different makers. Let us be kingdom people, having kingdom mindsets to do, Lord, your holy will. Thank you for what you've done with us already and how you've blessed us in all ways. We give you all the honor, power, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.